Wednesday the 14th of October 2020, Elton Fairfield, Following Christ, Part 3, Ballymena Gospel Hall.
You give a man a new microphone that's right-handed instead of left-handed, he hardly knows what to do. I apologize. Acts chapter 2, and we'll read verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And it says in verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. 1 Corinthians 11. And let's read from verse 20. 1 Corinthians 11, reading from verse 20. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Now may God bless to us this precious reading of the Word of God. As was already stated in prayer, and my goal, my desire, my aim of this meeting is to bring before us a preciousness of the breaking of bread. I use that word precious because if in some hard-hearted way I make a battleground out of this passage, then I have failed miserably of capturing the heart of Christ. For the Lord Jesus, on the night he was being betrayed, looks at a group of men that hardly know what's going to happen next, and knowing that he is going to bear our sins in his own body on that tree, he says, I'm going to introduce something to you. And then when he tells Paul later, says it in similar words, but we've got it right as a divine revelation now, not a record of history, but this is the revealed word of God to the apostle. This is precious. This is real. The Lord Jesus wants us to know something. He says, I'm going away. I'm going away. Oh, I'll be back for you, but I'm going away. And he says, there's something I want you to do. There's something I want you to do. It's not qualified by any man's gift. It's not qualified as to whether it's male or female. This is because you belong to me. And he says, I just want you to do something for me. For me. Dare I say it's a test of your devotion, it's a test of mine. It's a test of whether or not you truly love him. It's whether you would do what he says. If ye love me, keep my commandments. You can almost hear the pleading in his voice. If you want to show your love, just do what I ask. And here's what he said. He said, this do in remembrance of me. I want to consider, under just four simple headings, taken right out of this passage, it's something that they continued steadfastly in, the breaking of bread, a command to appreciate. A command to appreciate. And then I want you to notice that there's a cross to announce. Show forth the Lord's death. A cross to announce. Then there's a coming to anticipate. We've had that brought before us refreshingly in prayer. If everything's going all black here, you can just rest in this great fact. This isn't the end. He's coming. A coming to anticipate. And finally, my fourth heading would be a chastening to acknowledge. It might come as a surprise in dealing with the breaking of bread that we have to deal with a chastening, and you'll find out why. A command to appreciate, a cross to announce, a coming to anticipate, and a chastening to acknowledge. This command that we are called upon to appreciate is an action for the members of a local fellowship. This comes out of the fellowship that we were discussing last time. The apostles' doctrine defines the fellowship, and an expression, it's a lovely, visible expression of that fellowship. It seems only, and I searched the scriptures diligently, it seems to be only associated where there is a local assembly. That's why the apostles, even on their missionary journeys, you don't find them stopping and breaking bread, just the band of apostles. You find them coming to a place called Troas in Acts chapter 20, and you find them waiting there long enough so that they're able to participate in the breaking of bread when the disciples came together. So it's an action for the members of a local assembly. And that action expresses a unity. For if I had read to you in chapter 10, we being many are one bread and one body, and we are all partakers of that one bread. What's this? It is a local assembly that, by definition, they all are partakers of that one bread. So it's not a figurative thing. This is a real thing that real people are in a real place and they're taking part of the bread. Now, it is a beautiful symbol, and you would understand why. I'll get to the point that it's a symbol of his body in just a moment, but I want to express this. When there is one loaf, you say, oh, that's great unity. Oh, it gets better than that. When we all have a piece of that bread in us, how can that one loaf be one again? Well, it's as all as if we become one person. You see the unifying effect of this, that if an angel were to be looking down, and they do, you know, if an angel were to have some sort of supersonic vision of some kind and be able to say, where's the bread? You would say, well, there's a piece of it in every one of them. They've all taken it and they've all eaten it. It's a great visible symbol of unity. Actually, just breaking bread in terms of eating together, that's why I read verse 46 of Acts 2. I take that they ate their meat with gladness, and they went from house to house, and they're breaking bread. Breaking bread is an expression of fellowship, just as it's being denied us, you know. Unless you come to my patio and freeze for a little bit, and they're only two at a time, please, because there's four in my family. And you can just go, and we would just sit down, and we eat together. Northern Ireland people love to eat. And I love it too, by the way. You have to spend the half your life trying to burn it off and the other half putting it in. And you just enjoy. But it's more than eating, isn't it? I sent the boys down for 2 extra chips tonight. And I don't mean 2 chips, I mean 2 portions. I just felt the meal needed something added to it. And I thought, well, that was good. But it's more than the food, isn't it? I noticed that we didn't all eat independently in our house. We all sat down together. It's some chat. I'm the quiet one in our family. And I know that's saying something. And it's great chat. Might even have mentioned some of your names, by the way. Yeah, some of you sisters, some of you brethren, your names might have even been mentioned, all in a good sense, of course. But it's the fellowship together as we're eating a meal together. You see, the Lord says, I want you to do something. He says, I want you to remember me, but he says, I want you to do it together. I want you to be unified. I don't want one in their little corner over there, and another in their home over there, and another over there. He says, I want you to be together. He says, and all, it's an action. It's an action. I want you to do it. This do. So it's not only an action for members, but it's an action that remembers. He says, remember me. He says, will you not do it for me? Remember me. You say, what does that all involve? I tell you this, I'll just qualify it the way the Bible qualifies it. He says, this do in remembrance of me. And it's the action. Oh, I know you're gonna want me to know, come down on which side of the fence of this and that and everything, and how you pray and everything. Can I just say, there's no prayer in here apart from the Lord Jesus, when he had given thanks, he break it. It's the action here that's emphasized. This is how we remember him, is by doing it. And we're just to remember him. Isn't it good? Isn't it good? When someone's absent, you sometimes can forget. But the Lord Jesus says, as often as you do this, he says, I want you to do it often. Paul is emphasizing here, as often. And you would go and you would read letters even from the first century, and you would find that it just backs up what Acts 20 said about the first day of the week. That's when they met together. They met together so that they would gather on the first day of the week to break bread. And so that's what they would do. So if you are seeing that it's on the first day of the week and the instruction is as often, then maybe we should be doing it every first day of the week. Is that what we want? Indeed it is. And it's okay. It's happened to me before too. So don't you even worry in the slightest. And the Lord understands everything too. And so do the brethren. Most of them. So on the first day of the week, we gather together to remember him by this action. What is this action doing? Well, there's a cross to announce. He says, you're going to show the Lord's death. So by taking of this bread and drinking of this cup, in what way does it show the Lord's death? You say, bread, cup. He said, this is my body. This is the blood. So you have a loaf of bread and you've got a cup. Now just look at them on the table for a moment. They're separate. You know, when blood is separated from the body, what's that? What does that mean? Bloodshed. It's death. There's the two symbols, side by side, but distinct from each other. This is a symbol of death. With this is the body, and this is the blood. And what you're announcing is you are announcing that the cross of Christ was for God, for you, a ransom price for all. You are declaring the death of Christ. And by you participating in that and taking your portion of the bread and taking your portion of the cup, you are making a declaration. Christ died for me. This is my part. It's a mighty declaration. Sisters, you preach every week. You announce every week, brethren, you preach every, oh, I'm not eloquent. It doesn't say anything here about words. It's actions. And by your actions, the angels look on. Let the demons give a yell or two if they need to in absolute protest, because we are declaring the death of Christ has dealt with our sins, and He is the Savior, and Christ is our Lord. And we're doing this to remember Him, just because He asked us to do it. It's only until He comes. You'll not be doing it in heaven. Our brother was mentioning the body of Christ. I was just thinking to myself, you know, the body of Christ, that's eternal. That's going to continue right on into heaven. But you see, the local assembly, which is body in characteristic, it's not a body, it's not the body, it's just, it's body-like, with different members in it. But what is this? It's temporary. This is only for here and now. And what are these symbols? Brethren, symbols are always temporary. And when you have reality, you don't need the symbols. So whenever the Lord Jesus made one sacrifice for sins forever, we don't need other sacrifices. When He became that high priest of the order of Melchizedek, we don't need the Aaronic priesthood anymore. It's been eclipsed. And so what we can delight in is that the symbols will one time disappear. And you'll be glad to see them go. Oh, you enjoyed them while you had them. But then you have the reality. It's a coming to anticipate. It's only until He come. He says, remember me? I'm coming back. So what you're not only announcing that there's a cross, but you're also proclaiming there's a coming. You are making a declaration by using symbols that you're waiting for Him to come. And the symbols will be done away, only till He come. There's a chastening to acknowledge here. I found it very sobering. We only have in just two verses, just the description of the Lord's words here. And then we have verse after verse after verse about our fitness and how the Lord will protect the breaking of bread. He takes it very personally. This is so precious to Him. He says, if people are doing it without discerning, I take it, verse 29, not discerning the Lord's body is quite literally not discerning the whole symbolism of it, not discerning the offering of the body of the Lord Jesus, not discerning that when He said, this is my body as the symbol and this is my blood as the symbol. If you're not discerning at all and you're just making it into just a meal, it's just a tag along with a love feast or it's, He says, I'm going to actually protect my breaking of bread. He says, I gave it to them, and I am going to protect it. Now, brethren, will you allow me to say this? If the Lord Jesus is going to see to it that this breaking of bread is protected, surely we ought to protect it too. The Lord says, if people are doing it and not discerning the whole meaning of it, and so casually, or they're not treating their brethren correctly. I think that's very definitely behind it. They're proclaiming a unity in the death of Christ for our sins, and they're continuing on in sin. That's a big contradiction. If we come with lives full of fornication and covetousness and lies and cheating and unfaithfulness, and we come to the breaking of bread where we declare that Christ has died for our sins, you will come under the chastening of the Lord, and so will I. In fact, the Corinthian epistle here is telling us that some were actually weak and some were sickly and some were dying because of the terrible conditions at the breaking of bread. I hope that just puts a little fear into you, but also reminds you and reminds me how vital this is to the Lord Jesus. So then, you won't be upset then, will you? If a man comes to the door to break bread, but we all know from the testimony on Saturday night that he was drunk going up and down Bershane Street. You won't be upset if the elders stop him at the door, will you? And say, your life is inconsistent with this. you can't break bread. How dare they? I tell you, they dare. They definitely need to stop people that are unfit from breaking bread. In fact, I'll go another one. What if a man arrives at the door and his teaching is well known for being blasphemous or total error against the scriptures, and it's obvious? Are the brethren just going to say, come on in, you love the Lord, I'm sure, come on in and break bread? No, this isn't anything to do with love so much as it is righteousness. You see, there are restrictions. The Lord Jesus himself will stop people from breaking bread. And it would be very necessary for us, if you go to chapter 5, you'll see this, how a man had to actually be put away from the fellowship. And one of the privileges of the fellowship is to break bread. So by necessity, if he's put away from the fellowship, he cannot break bread. You see how solemn this is? So please don't be upset if someone was denied breaking bread. What if a person comes in and you have no idea if they're saved or not? You say, well, ask them. Of course you do. But they come from Timbuktu, and we've never been to Timbuktu, and we don't know the brethren there. What? Well, they'll bring a letter, of course. They'll bring a letter to show that they are following the apostles' doctrine. Listen, you have no trouble with those that are following the apostles' doctrine. Do you know why? They phone up in advance, and they bring a letter, and they're always... You know who you have trouble with? It's the people that arrive at 11:29 and 38 seconds. They're the people, and they just want to rush in. Not a bit of it. Take the time, brethren. Take the time. Could I exhort the elders? Take the time. Protect the fellowship. Protect the breaking of bread, because this is an expression of the fellowship. Command to appreciate. I hope you appreciate. The Lord wants you to do it. Cross to announce. I hope you understand. We're proclaiming the Lord's death only till he come. And we have to acknowledge that the chastening hand of the Lord could be upon us if we treat this lightly. Allow me to give you the usual 5 W's. Who, what, where, when, why, and then add the word how. And if I've timed this right, I'll deal with how you break bread, and there won't be enough time. So, who? I've dealt with that. The members of the local fellowship. The members of the fellowship there. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the fellowship and in the breaking of bread. And so only those that are walking in accord with the fellowship. So it'll be a local place, and it'll be elders, visitors can come in as long as they are also following the apostles' doctrine completely. That's who can partake. What? They're going to eat bread and drink of the cup. That's what it is. Just as simple as that. Nothing, if you add anything more than that, then you're adding a ritual. If you make a special man to go forward to administer it, you're making a ritual. Something that wasn't there. It's just simply a loaf of bread and a cup of wine. That's all. And we are to eat and we are to drink. Where? When we're gathered together in one place. You don't go and take the leftover emblems and then go to Prospect House and start administering it to the people there as if there's some, could I speak carefully, some magic in the bread or the wine. It's when you're gathered together in one place and you express that visible fellowship. I get that out of chapter 11, and I read it already. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, chapter 11 and verse 20. It's where an assembly is, like in Troas. You don't read of them doing it anywhere but where there's a local assembly. When? First day of the week. First day of the week. It's also called the Lord's Day. There's two adjectival phrases, Lord's Day and Lord's Supper. Put them together. It's like Lordly Day and Lordly Supper. Put them together. And that's when it occurs. We don't read of them doing it at any other time. I know when the Lord Jesus instituted it, it was on a particular weekday that you can tell me which one it is. Doesn't matter. But we do know that he rose again the first day of the week, and it seems that that's the only time that they broke bread. Why? Well, he told us to do it. It helps us to focus on him. It visibly shows the fellowship. So how do we do it? Let me give you the mechanics concerning it and the meeting containing it. The mechanics of breaking bread. You take one loaf and you eat it. I hope you got that. I don't read anything more than that. Are we supposed to use silver tongs? I don't see it here. But maybe you need to. I don't know. When COVID-23 comes out, it might be necessary. Sorry to disappoint you, but that's the kind of our dinner table talk these days. COVID-23 is right around the corner. Start in Canada or wherever, and that's the way of it. We're not told. It just says eat. So, brethren, when we take the one loaf, and I watched four men distributing it, surely that was okay. I wonder how the Lord Jesus distributed it. I don't know. Did he distribute it like the feeding of the 5,000, where we know that he broke it in his hands and he put some in Bartholomew's basket and some in Peter's basket and some in John's basket and he just kept on going? Is that how he did it? I don't know. When it came to the breaking of bread on the upper room, when he instituted it, did he say, we take this bread and pass it from hand to hand? Brethren, that's called prayer in Northern Ireland. Sorry, passing the bread from hand to hand, I only find in our prayer life, because I hear men pray that. But I don't find that. Maybe the Lord went and he distributed it. I don't know. So you be Berean, you search the scriptures, and you tell me later if there's any special mechanics. And the cup. I don't want to have any debate about this. But I know that each assembly is trying to find a way, safely, in COVID times, to take that cup and have everyone have their portion from it. So I'll leave it to the elders here to sort that out. But I would say this, I do think the Lord Jesus held up one cup. And he says, all of you, drink of it. So how they drank from it, we're not told. But I would assume that they just took it all their portion. And the next man would take his portion. I would assume that, and that's the way we want to get back to doing it. There's no appetite for anything else. Right now we are in COVID times, and it's very, very difficult. And I commend you as an assembly for seeking to step forward and to keep going as best you can under difficult circumstances. I'm not blind to the fact that we're all individual cups. I am a bit blind to the fact that I forgot to look, but as far as I know, they might even have been pre-poured. Some assemblies might not want to do that. You chose to do that, tried to represent the one cup. But let's just remember what's ideal, is having a loaf of bread that we all take our portion from, and when we eat it, we've partaken. And there's a cup, and when we all take our portion from it, when we've taken it, we've drunk. In case you're a little bit anxious about places that you hear using a pipette, I was a wee bit anxious about that too. A pipette, by the way, is something you used in chemistry class and dipped in and take your portion from. And I was a bit worried about it until I read what they did with the Lord Jesus. He said, I thirst. We read that they gave him to drink. They took a reed. They took a sponge. And they dipped the sponge in that bitter vinegar. And they put it to his lips, and he drank. Talk about an apparatus to get a man to drink. And my heart just calmed right down. I thought, well, the Lord knows all about drinking from an apparatus. And I thought, well, these are strange times. So, brethren, I don't have all your answers, and I am in no way throwing stones. But one thing I do think we need to get back to as soon as we can, one loaf, one cup. And we distribute it and partake of it. The meeting containing the breaking of bread. You don't read anything here about the fact that they prayed and gave thanks and they sang out of the believer's hymn book for an hour. Sorry, you don't sing for an hour, but you know what I mean. You pray and everything. You don't read any of that. So what do you do? Well, what's the objective? The objective is to remember him. So if you must sing, sing to remember him. If you must pray, pray to remember him. If you must open the Word of God, open it to remember him. I would just suggest very clearly now that what we have here is a separate time of breaking the bread. Maybe it's only going to take 10 or 15 minutes to do it. We often will take an hour, and in the good old days, an hour and a half, and we mingle in this and we mingle in that. All I can say is don't do anything that takes away from breaking the bread. Because sometimes I worry that we have an hour of activity, and you could even sing Christians Go and Tell of Jesus somewhere in there, and maybe someone will pray for the missionaries in Singapore at about 3:15, and it's all wonderful. By all means, pray for the people in Singapore. And by all means, give God the glory for this and that and ask him to help save your family. And you can, by all means, do all that another time. What we are there to do is to break the bread and drink of the cup and show the Lord's death till he come. So what we have the privilege, if we have the privilege of extending that to 45 minutes or extending it to an hour or an hour and a half, you brethren, won't do anything to take away from that. Don't make it an hour of activity and then a little breaking of bread thing tacked onto the end. It's the climax. It is why you are there. It is the very pinnacle of the gathering. And so, how are we to pray? All I can say is remember him. And I'll just confess, I find it hard to remember the Lord Jesus without thanking God for him dying for me. I am very deeply thankful, and I can't divorce my worship from my expressions of appreciation, and I will offer to God my thanksgiving for everything that Christ is to the very best of my puny knowledge. But I must confess, brethren, that somewhere in there, I'm going to thank God for his Son, because it's very personal. I am going to take my personal portion of the bread. I'm going to take my personal portion of the cup. I'm going to offer my personal portion. And says a sister, we don't get a chance. Yes, you do. You're the one that's keeping it going when the brethren are stumbling and bumbling about. You're praying, and at least the Lord's getting a fragrance as the brethren are trying to get their thoughts together. But I did ask my wife, I said, when do you pray? She says, when the emblems are going around, because it's the only time the brethren are quiet enough. Well, she's very shy at expressing her opinion, but all I can say is this. Dear sister, you bring your portion too, won't you? Remember him. Is there any qualification in remembering him? Yes, there is. You've got 66 books all about him. There's your restriction. And as soon as you've mined everything out of the scriptures concerning him, well, I think maybe the Lord will have come by that point. And so, brethren and sisters, I hope you take everything kindly. I've tried to be as simple as I possibly can without being condescending in any way. But again, I go back to where I started and say the Lord Jesus asked us to do it. He said, this do in remembrance of me. He says, and I'm going to guard it. Please value it. You value it. You never miss it. You be there as often as you can, because the Lord Jesus is desiring that of you and desiring that of me. May God bless his word. I apologize for the time. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank thee for the clear instruction of Scripture. We thank thee for the simplicity of it. We stumble a bit, Father, because we are guilty of adding so much of our own ideas But strip away the dross of man, we pray, and help us to see it as such a precious thing to gather on the first day of the week in a local assembly and express our fellowship and to honor the Lord Jesus. Father, help us as we anticipate next Sunday that it will be the highlight of our week, that we will anticipate it by preparing and treasuring up all the blessed thoughts of Him. And we pray, Father, that we will also glean, as we did last Sunday, from the thoughts of others. So, our Father, we commit our way to Thee, giving Thee our humble thanks. Remember those that were not with us tonight. A portion for them we humbly ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.